You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
Hour number two, Roto Experts here, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Fantasy Executive, Wall Street, I'm Greg, and happy to be here with you on this fine Monday. Let's get through that AFC South, right? Before we hit on Green Bay coming up in about 5 minutes or now, 5 minutes from now. And that was, what the hell happened with Tennessee yesterday? Is that a classic trap game, Corey?
Classic trap game for Tennessee. Tennessee is not as good as who we thought they were going to be. Marcus Mariota looks beat up. He doesn't look like he's playing healthy. Matter of fact, he's looked like he's regressed a little bit. The team just looks kind of stuck in quicksand right now. We thought they'd have been a player in the AFC. They are not a player in the AFC in any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, I don't think Mariota's fully healthy. DeMarco Murray's not fully healthy. Eric Decker's wife is questioning the play calling.
That woman I love it when that happens.
That woman is so starved for stardom. It's kind of sad.
Did you not watch her show on the E! Network?
No, I did not. My mom liked the show. She likes Eric Decker.
Oh, my sister enjoyed the show as well. Yeah, but Corey, ultimately you're right. This team's just not as good as we thought they were.
There's still time to round into form.
And Delaney at 7-for-63 hurt himself at the end of this game.
He was on crutches. It looks like it might possibly be a serious injury. And that would put
Juju Smith? Or Jonu Smith, sorry.
That's how it's pronounced? Jonu?
I don't know.
I like to say Jonu.
Jonu? Jonu?
It could be Jonu. Okay. Mr. Smith is a person of interest if this is the case. The tight end is relevant.
Absolutely.
In Tennessee. And it is
Jonu.
And the Titans have the bye this week, so I'm curious to see. This is it's a perfect time for their bye. Look, they survived.
Yep.
They survived Cleveland. They get the bye.
Yep.
I want to see Corey Davis needs to come out of this bye healthy.
Healthy and ready to rock.
Ready to rock, as you say. And they need to get this offense humming.
Absolutely. Yesterday, DeMarco Murray plays through his hamstring injury again, which really surprised me.
Why didn't surprise me? I'm of the belief he feels if he took the game off,
Derrick Henry's going to steal his job.
Which might happen. Might have happened.
18 carries for 59 yards, 13 carries for 13 yards for Derrick Henry. I thought it would be a big Derrick Henry game. I was just wrong.
Yeah, thankfully,
we're always wrong when it comes to predicting Derrick Henry games.
You're right.
I was fortunate for the most part. The one league I did start Henry, I wound up winning that one.
Okay.
But in the other ones, I was tempted. I wanted Henry in, and I kept him out. So it worked out in that fashion.
All right, let me ask you this. We said Sammy Watkins is droppable. Even Matt came around. He's like, all right, listen, you got a guy. I'm fine with it. Is Isaiah Crowell droppable, Corey? All seriousness, am I making any jokes?
I don't think Isaiah Crowell is droppable.
Okay. 17 carries for 35 yards yesterday against Tennessee.
He caught the football yesterday, saved his day.
In a game that they were in the entire game, carried them 17 times, which is fine. But 35 yards, we need better.
No, we do need better. And with Joe Thomas going down, with The Rock, Thomas going down, things are likely not going to get that much better because Joe Thomas, you know, is one of the staples of that offensive line. The reason why they're so good as a unit is because of Joe Thomas. One thing about it is the difference when you drop Sammy Watkins, it's wide receivers to go pick up. Drop Isaiah Crowell, who are you going to go get?
You're absolutely right.
Cody Kessler or Xavier?
Cody Kessler, why not? Poor Hugh Jackson. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll hit on Green Bay. We'll talk a little bit more about Cleveland a little bit later on. This is the Roto Experts.
Are you new to Daily Fantasy? Are you a veteran? Either way, you can better your chances of winning money and lots of it by going to DailyRoto.com. Multiple people have become millionaires thanks to the guys at Daily Roto. Why not take advice from the experts? You can become a millionaire too. Just go to DailyRoto.com to rock Daily Fantasy Sports.
Live on YouTube, we are the Roto Experts. Happy to be with you here today talking about the Green Bay Packers and the state of their offense. Packers fell yesterday at 26-17. Corey, you said you thought the Bears was easy money yesterday. I thought the Packers were easy money yesterday. I love the Packers in this game. They're up 14-7 at halftime. They're home dogs in Green Bay against a New Orleans team that I thought people believed they were going to walk in there and just decimate them. And they're up, like I said, up at halftime in this game. I thought Brett Hundley was going to get into a little bit of a rhythm. And I read it wrong, man. There was no rhythm whatsoever, Brett Hundley. And this offense, we speculated like how bad it could be. And, you know, there are other thoughts. Was a full week of practice. Brett Hundley could look better. He could look good. None of that happened. It was as bad as you could have possibly imagined from a passing perspective.
Definitely, it's not what you wanted to see from the offense of the Green Bay Packers yesterday. Listen, I know in the link, Jake said, you know what, he took them all down a tier, but maybe you got to take them down in more than a tier. Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb, and what's the other boy, Davante Adams. Yeah, all of them just look, all of them not involved in the offense, no rhythm, no sync to the passing game. We really see that offense, well, through 1 week, you know what I'm saying? They got, if I'm not mistaken, they have the bye coming up. Mm-hmm. Maybe it changes after the bye. But what we saw this week right here was something that would give you a little bit of worry if you are owner of one of the Green Bay Packer wide receivers. This is not feeling good. They drop this game on you going into the bye. They come out the bye. Let's see if maybe Hundley can get more connection, more chemistry going with the wide receivers. That's what we have to look forward to. But right now, you can't feel good about it. He had a perfect game the other day, though.
I did have a perfect game. But not today. Not today. Hit hard early. But early on, it was, you know, you had hope. He had a rushing touchdown, things you wanted to see. It was kind of like McCarthy played scared, and they didn't want to really expand the offense here. And as you said, they had the lead at the half. So you got to hope for the best. Hope right now going forward is they get the bye, they open up the offense a little more. They say, look, this is what we need to do. These receivers are too talented. And right now, they all have to take a hit. I'm still going to say Davante Adams is the one to own going forward. I'll put that one out there.
But over Jordy Nelson.
I think Jordy's a different receiver since he returned. He's more of that, you know, he's reliant on the touchdown. He was Aaron Rodgers' guy. I mean, they just had that rapport that you just can't teach. It was there 10 years, a decade or so, playing together. So if I had to bet on somebody of the receivers, I'd bet on Adams. But, you know, right now.
But I don't, and like we said, or I said kind of coming into this conversation, this is as bad as we could have imagined, at least through one game. Hundley threw the ball 25 times, which is like three times the amount that Mitchell Trubisky did. 87 yards, and they just moved nowhere. I understand that the Saints offense is, Saints defense rather, is really not bad. It's better than we expected. But coming up, I mean, you're facing the Lions, which have been better than expected after the bye. You're facing the Bears in Chicago. We saw what they did to Cam Newton yesterday. You're facing the Ravens at home, okay. I mean, it's going to be up and down. If you own any of these Packers, you have a right. You have a very, very strong right to be nervous. Like, I understand yesterday was kind of a wait and see. I am a Davante Adams owner, and I know most people that are listening and are watching, like, you probably own some share of a Packers wide receiver, whether it's Adams, whether it's Nelson, whether it's Cobb. You probably, at some point, one of your teams, you own one of these Packers wide receivers. And I'll say this, I am no longer afraid to throw them on the bench and play the matchup.
I would be very careful before I start throwing them on the bench.
Really?
They come out of this bye, you never know what's going to happen. You have one of these cats on the bench in this bye, and they come out of this bye, and you get to week 9, and you benching these dudes, and they come out there, and they go crazy, and one of them, and Davante Adams put up 30-something fantasy points, you're going to be sick to your stomach with that sitting on your bench in week 9.
But what
it's too late in the season. Mm-hmm. Don't do it in week 9. I would say if week 9 comes and you see, okay, still no improvement, still looks like it's going to be hit or miss, then maybe I would consider it. But to come out after this bye and put one of these dudes on the bench in week 9, you are asking for it.
Dude, 87 yards passing. But I'm at home.
I'm with Corey. You know what? It was, in my opinion, it was McCarthy. He really reduced that play calling. And look, Marcus Lattimore looks like a rising star. That secondary is much improved in New Orleans. But they got the bye this week. You have to think they try and figure things out. These are talented wide receivers. I'm going to give them at least after the bye to see what happens there. And maybe that's just being optimistic. But, I mean, I want to see what are your other options, especially come week 9 where there's six teams on a bye. I can't see how I'm going to be able to say if I own Devontae Adams, he's going on my bench.
I'll go back to the same example I used earlier. Would you rather in week 9, would you start? This is week 9, and I'm not really playing start or sit. I'm just saying, would you start a Green Bay Packer wide receiver? Would you start somebody like Robert Woods?
I'm probably going to go a Green Bay wide receiver.
A Green Bay Packer wide receiver.
Okay. So you guys are not, the roof is not falling in for you when it comes to Green Bay Packers.
I mean, Robert Woods is pretty much the upside is, what, 15 points?
Sure.
Probably, you know,
can
get around that double digits, you know, catch him. I'm going to take my chances with Devontae Adams, Jordy Nelson, even a Randall Cobb.
Okay. When it comes to the running game for Green Bay,
That's where it's at.
We got a little clarity on that one, I think.
We certainly did. Aaron Jones yesterday, 17 carries, 131 yards, and a 46-yard touchdown. Ty Montgomery carried the ball 4 times.
Yeah, Aaron Jones looks like the running back that you want to own in Green Bay moving forward. He may not give you much in the PPR, not really the big pass-catching back that Ty Montgomery was. Maybe we see him develop that after we get through the bye week. But listen, this guy has 2 games over 125 yards rushing. He's touching the football. He's carrying the football no less than 13 times a game when he's been out there as a starter. He's a rock-solid RB2 moving forward, even when you get past the bye weeks. Now, from what we saw yesterday, it looks like this is what they want to do with the offense. They want to pound the football with Aaron Jones, slow the game down for the kid Hundley, let him kind of play mistake-free football. And Aaron Jones is a good 22-year-old running back. Yeah, I think that's the way they're going to go with this offense. I'm upset I don't own him anywhere.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I was still holding out hope for Ty Montgomery. Look, if somebody cuts him, I'm picking up Ty Montgomery.
I would too.
You know, but right now, when you get pretty much outrushed 17-4 in attempts, pretty much the writing's on the wall. Yeah. This is where they're going with. They want to have the run game.
Maybe he gets healthy over the bye with his ribs.
That's
maybe
true,
that's
too.
It, you know?
But I don't think they're going away from Aaron Jones.
Yeah, maybe they expand the offense a little more come week 9. But you got to feel good if you're an Aaron Jones owner, just because right now with the way this team is looking without Aaron Rodgers.
I look at Green Bay, and as a Ty Montgomery owner, I'd be very, very nervous. And, like, yeah, let's be truthful. I don't own Aaron Jones anywhere either. Like, I don't want to say I didn't believe in him, but, like, he was another guy. Ty Montgomery was coming back quicker than I expected. Jamal Williams is coming back. I missed the boat when it came to Aaron Jones. I just did not buy all in on him and buy all in on Wayne Coleman and buy all in on Latavius Murray either.
Look what they were saying, though. It was like, oh, well, you know, he's got the broken ribs, but he could play. You know, you still know this team wants to throw the foot. The situation when we passed on Aaron Jones was much different than what it is now.
I agree.
If Aaron Jones was to hit the waiver wire today, this week, with no Aaron Rodgers,
sure,
and Ty Montgomery, and, you know, and Ty Montgomery still nursing these rib injuries, then he would be a break the bank go get.
But absolutely.
When he came to us, it was the middle of the week. You passed.
Well, and the other thing, too, like in the preseason, it was Jamal Williams.
Yeah.
Who was getting 100%. Those carries 100%. Behind Montgomery. So that looked like, you know, it looked like it was setting up that way. So I can't kill, you know, if you took Aaron Jones, maybe you had a thought. It was hard to kind of hold him to that point, too. He probably, even if you drafted him late, he was probably cut.
100%. When it comes to Aaron Jones, you do what your thing. You did your thing. You can cut Jamal Williams. I'm fine with that. Jamal Williams is useless now.
Jamal Williams should be cut a couple weeks
ago. I agree. I'm just kind of going through the state of the Packer offense. Martellus Bennett had the most receiving yards for this team yesterday with a grand total of 17.
Yeah, I'm not a Marty B fan as far as fantasy.
No, I'm
personally, he's just nice guy.
I'm not worried with the Bennett brothers and you guys.
So there you go. That's kind of the state of the Green Bay Packers. On the other side of things, in this one, for New Orleans, Drew Brees threw 330 yards. Threw a couple interceptions. He was kind of off yesterday.
He was. I mean, look, this game. The reason they were trailing at the half was a couple of those crucial interceptions that he threw. But you got to like this Saints offense as a whole right now. And Drew Brees' game, I think, it's a different Drew Brees. You know, we've seen it over the last couple of years. It's been trending in this direction. But, you know, he's got guys like Kamara. He's got Ingram where he can dump it off. You know, Michael Thomas can pretty much do everything. And Ted Ginn Jr. is a thing right now.
My bad.
I had no idea
what
that was.
I
had no idea what that was.
Some kind of ad for a race car.
Oh, okay. They got some buckshot was coming our way.
We'll talk more about Ted Ginn Jr., Michael Thomas, and the rest of the Saints offense when we return on the radio. Thanks so much for watching. Subscribe to our YouTube channel for more great videos like this. We'll be right back here on the Roto Express, presented by DX Raiders.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Fantasy Sports. Fantasy Factor is the perfect daily fantasy site for the casual recreational player. Flatter prize pool, smaller field, single entry contests only. Fantasy Factor is running a $500 NFL free roll this week. Free entry. Sign up. Enter. $500 for free. www.fantasyfactor.com. Sign up right now. All right. Let's go back to the Saints, guys. Ted Ginn Jr., brother of Ted Finn Jr. 7 receptions, 141 yards yesterday, Corey.
Yep. Had him in lineups. Was happy to put him in lineups yesterday
nice
also.
Nice job by you.
Yeah, nah, Ted Ginn, he gets it done. Professional wide receiver. Has become a best friend to Drew Brees. As long as Willie Snead is continuing to be in and out, mainly out the lineup, I don't think there's no reason why you should keep rolling Ted Ginn out there. I think Ted Ginn is an asset for fantasy owners moving forward. The thing about it is you got to figure out when to start him and when not to start him.
Yeah, but you know,
but with six teams on bye next week, more than likely if Ted Ginn is not on bye next week, is he? And more than likely if he's not on bye, he's in your lineup.
No, their bye was week 5.
So you got him for the rest of the way.
And if you look at his last 4 games in PPR, 13.9, 5.4, 16.9, 21.1, as Corey stated, Willie Snead is not going to be a thing this year, it looks like. He's, you know, he's got this hamstring thing, the whole suspension. So that's kind of spiraled his season out of control. And Ginn, you know what? The previous week should have had 2 touchdowns, putting up 144 yards. Okay, you want to say against the Packers, whatever. It's on the road. You got to like this guy. They get the Bears home, and the Bears home versus the Bears on the road versus the Bears at home are totally different teams.
Totally.
So you have to be looking to plug and play him once again.
Who would you rather own, Matt? Ted Ginn Jr.
Over Sammy Watkins? Yeah, I'll take Ted Ginn Jr.
No, wasn't
I'm joking.
Ted Ginn Jr. Or who's your other guy?
You would, though.
It was Ted Ginn Jr. or Devin Funchess.
Ooh, that's a good one right there. I'd take Funchess. Funchess is going to get a lot of targets. I don't think Olsen's going to be back anytime soon. I got to look into that. But
he's eligible to come back sooner than you think. Same with Corey Coleman, by the way. I remember I talked about that in the BFFs last week.
Corey Coleman and Deshaun Kaiser might be in a little trouble. An outing over the weekend, I think, that Hugh Jackson didn't like. But
Corey Coleman,
though? Deshaun Kaiser was involved in that mix, too.
Yeah, he was out late Friday night or something. Yeah.
He cannot control anybody.
Well, I mean, here's the thing.
Poor Hugh.
Look, if you want the stability, I think you go Funchess has gotten at least 8 targets, between 8 and 10 in like the last 5 weeks. I mean, the process is right by rolling him out there.
Just
the execution
process
hasn't occurred the last 2 weeks. Ginn's in a better offense. Let's be honest. It's a better passing offense. So I think it's more of what you want for your team. Maybe if I want that week in, week out, what I think should be stability, especially with Kelvin Benjamin's knee, I'll probably a slight lean to Funchess, but I have no problem going in.
Yeah, I think I probably am with you, slight lean Funchess. You know, I just think that you're Garantito was more touchdowns than he would be with Higgins Jr., I think.
Yeah, I still don't know how Funches didn't score a touchdown yesterday. I thought that was like set up for him perfect.
I know. It just didn't work out. Michael Thomas yesterday had 7 for 82. Once again, led the team in targets. You didn't see him get in the end zone either. But 7 for 82 is fine.
Yeah, look, I mean, everybody wants these, you know, monster games. Mm-hmm. You see what Amari Cooper just did. And you're like, why are you doing that? You
know? Sure.
But I think he's
solid.
Yeah, he's solid. He's fine. Look, if a bad week is 15.2 fantasy points from your number one wide receiver, overall that's not a bad thing because he's going to get you the points. He's got a couple of 20-point weeks. He's fine, in my opinion.
I want to check the receipts on him, though.
Yeah, because
he was going at the end of the first round.
Yes, he was.
I think comparatively, look.
I think you're okay.
Would you rather have you could have had Jordy Nelson the rest of the season? I'm taking Michael Thomas.
Well, of course. What about Michael Thomas versus Brandon Cooks?
Brandon Cooks,
a comparable one.
Brandon Cooks is a top 12 wide. Brandon Cooks is a one.
I mean, look. I was saying I think he was
right
one
now.
Of the best buys. I was trying to get him from Tony Sincotta in the GST this past week. I really want Brandon Cooks going forward. I'm fine with either one of the two. I think they're comparable. I think they're neck and neck with each other.
You know, they are similar. So Brandon Cooks at 28, 537, and 3. Michael Thomas is 35, 403, and 2. But I believe he played one less game.
Yeah, they had the bye already.
So he played one less game. So they're comparable.
Brandon Cooks in the PPR, Brandon Cooks averaged 14 points a game. Michael Thomas averaged 14 points a game.
All right,
Brandon Cooks, like you said, he played that extra game, so he's the wide receiver one.
Yep.
Right now, Michael Thomas is the wide receiver two. If you're a Michael Thomas owner,
you're okay.
I don't think you're like, you're not a Sammy Watkins owner.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Thomas is going to be more consistent week in, week out. Cooks is going to give you the more boom. But I don't think Cooks is a bust. I think he's a fantastic buy. I'd still even go out and try and buy this guy right
still
now.
Still buying.
And the other thing with Watkins. I mean, Watkins was a six-round pick. Once he got traded. I mean, we got to look at that. These are end of the first round or second round guys.
I didn't compare Sammy Watkins. This guy over here. All right. Mark Ingram, Alvin Kamara.
This is a monster backfield they got
monster
going on.
Monster backfield.
I like it.
Listen, let's give credit to where it's due, man. Sean Payton noticed that AP was significantly worse than these two. He cleared the way for both of these guys to get significant work. Mark Ingram, 22 carries yesterday, over 100 yards rushing, and the touchdown. Mark Ingram is finally this workhorse back, which we've been waiting for. Plus, you get Alvin Kamara, who is the pass-catching back, 5 for 50 yesterday. He had 9 carries for another 57 yards. Are both these guys RB1s?
Ingram, I think, is definitely an RB1. Kamara, you could put in that. I think he's more of a high RB2. But, I mean, rest of the season, who name the running backs you'd rather have than Mark Ingram?
You're not going to name it. It's not many that you can put in there.
Yeah,
But this is the thing. This is how it's playing out right now.
Yes.
You don't want Sean Payton to fall out of love with these running backs like he has a tendency to do. So right now, you got to love the production. It's working. They're the head of the NFC South. So I think as long as they keep winning football games by running the football, I think they're going to stick with it.
It's crazy. They're winning football games, the football and defense is what they're winning football. So it's crazy.
And look, as I said earlier, last week at home versus Detroit, he had 30 touches when you add up the rushes and the receptions. Mm-hmm. This week, 26. And Kamara, I've been starting both of these the last 2 weeks, and it's been profitable. You can play both these running backs. They both have roles. Kamara, Peyton loves Kamara. He's a rookie. He has his role. He's probably going to give you consistently double-digit points every week. Ingram has that 20-point upside pretty much every week now because he's going to catch at least 5 passes. So if he can get you that 10 points in the passing game,
great.
And put another 10 in the rushing game.
Great. Absolutely. There's a lot to love here. And you're right. If you think of the running backs you'd rather have over Mark Ingram right now, I think you'd rather have Le'Veon Bell. I think you'd rather have Todd Gurley. Would you rather have Leonard Fournette?
I'd probably go Fournette.
Okay,
I would go Fournette.
All right, so
I don't think it's a
wide gap. No,
it's closer than you think.
Would you rather have Ezekiel Elliott?
Yes, yeah. I'd rather have Zeke.
Well, I wasn't sure that the suspension coming. I don't know. All right, so you rather have Zeke. Those are four guys.
Mm-hmm. I mean, would you rather have LeSean McCoy? Maybe basically it's just him there.
I think that's very close.
But that's
I think that's very close. I agree. I think that's very close.
I'm taking Ingram over Jai, over Howard.
Would you take Ingram over Carlos Hyde?
Yes.
I think I have to base on the offense.
Would you take Ingram over Devonta Freeman?
No.
That's getting closer. I don't know what the hell Sarkisian's doing with this offense. Like, when you see what happened last night, that Devonta Freeman did not get that ball.
It's insane.
You know, maybe I'll still say Devonta Freeman, but it's extremely close.
I'll take Kareem Hunt over Mark Ingram.
Kareem Hunt.
We'll take Melvin Gordon over Mark Ingram.
Yeah,
I would still go.
What about Christian McCaffrey?
No.
I would take Mark Ingram over McCaffrey also.
So he's a top 10
back. Like 6 or 7.
Yeah, 7.
But he's very solidly in that top 10.
Yeah.
With DeMarco Murray? Did you say that already?
I'll take Ingram.
I'll take Ingram over Murray.
He doesn't have Derrick Henry in a bad hand.
And doesn't have a bad hammy.
Would you take Ingram over J.H.I.?
Yes.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Over Jordan Howard?
I don't like J.H.I. No, you
don't.
Sorry.
So I think Ingram solidly in that top 10. I think Alvin Kamara, as we kind of said, solidly in that the next 10, you know?
Yeah.
Solidly in that next 10.
I would say Kamara's a top 20 back worst.
Maybe
has top 15 upside, top 12 if everything broke right rest of the season.
So there you go. Mark Ingram, a top 10. Alvin Kamara, a top 20. And that is your Monday moment here for this Monday, October 23rd. Mark Ingram, top 10. Alvin Kamara, top 20. Your Monday moment for today. Make sure you listen to On Target later this afternoon. You win a free pair of Skicks, so you can tell them what our Monday moment was for today. Monday, October 23rd. There you go. State of the Green Bay Packers, state of the New Orleans Saints. This Saints team has started 0-2. Now, as Corey said, leading this division at 4-2. And they are absolutely rolling right now. Their bye came at the right time. They figured this thing out. They figured this thing out for now.
They actually did. You said that perfectly. They got their bye. They got rid of Peterson.
Yeah.
Who, look, it might have only been 7 or 9 snaps a game, but to me, it was interrupting the rhythm, the flow of the offense. And Carolina is just giving this division away.
Oh, absolutely! But it's a good division with Atlanta in it. They're fighting and.
I want to see how
Tampa Bay as well.
I want to see how this division plays out. This should be fun. And Atlanta and New Orleans play Week 14 and Week 16. That should be a hell.
Those should be awesome, fun
games.
I think the question is, will Steve Sarkisian be there when those matchups
play? Maybe Steve Sarkisian needs to hit the bottle. I hate to say that.
Oh, that's not nice. You can't go there. That's not nice.
Come on, we can't joke and.
It's not about that. When we come back, we'll talk about...
Mr. Sussman don't like that type of stuff.
The guy's a recovering alcoholic.
I didn't say it.
We'll talk about the Atlanta Falcons a little bit when we return here. And why Matt Modica believes Steve Sarkisian needs a change. We'll talk about the Falcons and the Patriots when we come back. It's Roto Experts here, Fantasy Sports Radio.
The award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network is your free fantasy source 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can catch this show and many others live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio. Want to listen on your computer at work? Go to fntsy.com/radio or check us out on YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page, where you can ask questions, discuss topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your questions on the air. The number is 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 days a year fantasy sports network of its kind without a subscription. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your fantasy source.
So the Patriots, they didn't have to come back down from 28-3 this time. Thoroughly dominated the Falcons on Sunday Night Football. 23-7. And this was a true four-man running back committee by the Patriots with Rex Burkhead returning, with Burkhead, with Lewis, with White, with Gillislee. How do you break this thing down, Amagoyka?
I think it's a three-man rotation in the backfield with James Brown. James White having his role. I mean, James White in a PPR, this is a guy, he was a ninth-round value in the leagues I played in. And he's returned it. He's been profitable. He had one bad week against Houston. But he has that role. The running back role, like Deion Lewis is getting the carries. He's not getting the passes. They're not throwing. The only person that's really catching the ball is James White. And for me, it's Lewis, Burkhead, and then Gillislee. I mean, I think you saw from Burkhead, they like this guy.
They do.
And he looks better than Mike Gillislee. Let's be honest.
I agree with that. But I think right now, and you kind of said it, these roles are very defined in that James White is the pass-catching back. Deion Lewis is the primary running back anywhere, really, so it seems.
The one thing I'll say, I never like to see my primary running back returning kicks.
Okay, sure.
That's something you don't want to see. But look, the Patriots, they have this three-headed monster right now. Lewis is the guy but honestly, I've been saying, if you went and got Rex Burkhead this week and just put him on your bench and tucked him away, there might be a role for him. It may never happen this season. Okay. I'll be honest with you. But it may. And it may be in 2 weeks where you're like, thank God I got Rex Burkhead to throw in here. It may not happen, but who else is sitting on the end of your bench? That's what you gotta ask. And
did he touch the ball after halftime, do you know, Rex Burkhead?
I think he might have had a couple of runs. They went back to Gillislee, and he didn't get it done, and there was a play with him. I just think that Gillislee has really fallen hard, and it's now getting tougher and tougher each week to justify having him on your roster. I still wouldn't cut him. It's hard to cut him. Because say Deion Lewis gets injured next week. Gillislee's right back there. Yep. The team scores too many points. So that's why I always want to at least have, as a bench player, I want to have one of these guys there.
So that's even how I'm feeling with Rex Burkhead right now, because there's the next 2 weeks, the biggest bye weeks of the season. And you're going to need someone to fill in at running back. And as we go through the waivers, we'll do on tomorrow's show, there's no running backs out there for you to run and pick up. There's no major injury this week. There's no major breakout this week. It kind of is what it is. You're going to be desperate at running back. If you have to play somebody like Rex Burkhead, you might have to do it. And that's why if he's out there, I go get him.
Yeah, Burkhead does have the bye week 9, just a heads up there. But not next week. Yeah, no, coming up this week, you know. But one of the reasons why I pretty much, as Corey would say, emptied the bag on Marlon Mack is who are the other upside running backs out there? This is a guy that... only thing impeding him is a 34-year-old running back.
Absolutely.
On a team that's got 2 wins.
And I believe Corey's quote is empty the clip. Is what
well, there's that one, too. I don't think we were going there. But, but yeah, no. So, I mean, I'm just looking at that. And like I'm saying, you may be forced to start a Rex Burkhead this week. And in a PPR format, he could possibly come through. You just don't know game to game with the run situation. Right now, Deion Lewis is the lead dog, but Burkhead about it. 6 carries, 31 yards. He looked good. He did look good.
So I'm looking at my waiver wire just for fun, just to kind of get an idea of what running backs could be there for next week. Mm-hmm. And there's literally only 3 guys other than, I think actually Burkhead's probably owned in this league, to be honest with you. Rex Burkhead is owned in this league, which is annoying. But there's only 2-3 guys, maybe, that I would even consider. I don't want any of them. J.D. McKissic? All right. And then you get, and this is where you're going to have to go, DeAndre Washington, Jalen Richard. That's where you're going to have to
go. That's the interesting combo. I mean, I have been a Jalen Richard guy from the preseason on. DeAndre Washington, though, in the second half, did look good on that drive. He had a nice touchdown run. Richard, to me, is the most talented guy. I think I stated in the first quarter before Marshawn Lynch got ejected, he needs to touch the ball 12 to 15 times every game. That should be mandatory. He's really got – he looks like the best running back on that team, and at least in my opinion.
Yeah.
But I honestly, for the Raiders, the best thing that I think happened to them was – Lynch getting suspended this week. That to me is a perfect running back by committee thing. Those two guys can split the touches and both do well.
All right, back to the Patriots here. Now, Brandon Cooks hits in the end zone. We were talking about him a few moments ago. He had 4 for 65 yesterday. Rob Gronkowski, 3 for 51, and one major one called back on offensive pass interference. Chris Hogan, 4 for 71. He was a little banged up in this one.
Yeah, here's the thing. This is the interesting thing about Chris Hogan. Would you say Chris Hogan's the Patriots' number one wide receiver?
I would, yes. I would.
If most dependable, like the guy that he's going to go to. And look, he didn't get that touchdown, but that's been pretty much his week. So 74 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah.
So that's why it's looked even much better. I'm going to try and get Hogan this week. I'm going to try and put Cam in somebody because I got the three quarterbacks.
Yeah.
I got to get rid
of
somebody.
Might as well.
I really don't want to get rid of Dak or Deshaun.
No, I wouldn't do that. Dak is playing phenomenal.
Dak's awesome, man. On the other side of things, for Atlanta now, the Falcons did nothing all game until garbage time.
Yeah, this should be the Monday moment.
Oh, we can change the Monday moment.
You know why?
Are we changing the Monday moment?
Because, well, listen. Well, you make the call, Mr. Sussman. Okay. You're in charge. Now, listen. Okay, this whole thing that when you change offensive coordinator and they come and they tell you,
We're keeping the system.
We're going to do what the players feel. That's BS. Mm-hmm. Forget that. Throw that out the window. We're seeing it in D.C. right now, and we're seeing it in Atlanta. New offensive coordinator. You see, the offense doesn't look like what we thought it would look like based on what we were going from the previous season. That was an all-time offense last season that the Atlanta Falcons have. They move one person, leaves the scenario, and it totally falls to crap. You feel what I'm saying? It makes absolutely no sense with all these dynamic weapons and playmakers on this offense for this Sarkisian character to come in here and essentially ruin what they had going on. The Atlanta Falcons offense looks terrible right now. It makes absolutely no sense the way they're playing. Tevin Coleman not involved last night. So what, you going to tell me, oh, he's a dude that Belichick decided to take away? No, they're not getting him the right opportunities. Devonta Freeman should be carrying the football a little bit more. The thing with Julio Jones not opening up the way we should. Matt Ryan looks like a shell of what he looks like last year. I mean, is that the biggest fall off that we're ever going to see from league MVP to almost a zero? I think it's a complete joke. We have to stop listening to the narrative of the offensive coordinator coming in saying, I'm going to run the same system. No, you were brought, if Greg.
Yes.
When you was on your European vacation last week, right?
Weekend.
Yeah. When you were on your European vacation last weekend, me and Mike Blewett, we split the hosting duties.
Yes.
We're going to run it different, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
I expect you to.
Nothing against you, but
no,
we're going to do our. We're going to do. Mike's going to do his thing. I'm going to do my thing.
Correct.
So why does the same apply for offensive coordinators? I'm not going to come in here and do the same exact thing. You feel what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So we have to stop doing that. That's something that we have to get away from.
And I think when we get into draft season again, coming up, like, we're going to have to recognize this.
Exactly. Like, Hugh Jackson is going to be offensive coordinator somewhere.
he's
not going to run the same system.
Here's
the Monday moment.
The one telling thing to me is, and maybe Julio Jones needs to do like an Antonio Brown on the sidelines, like get the water cooler.
That's not Julio's thing.
I know.
But you wish it was.
Six games, he's got double digit targets twice.
Yeah.
I don't care if he's double covered, you throw the damn ball his way. Make him go up, make a play. Matt Ryan's throwing with interceptions anyway. So
at least talking Julio in the interception. Come on now, it makes no sense. So this is a team that they look to be in some trouble right now. Obviously, we still got half of the season to go. The Saints playing better, Carolina playing better, Tampa still in the mix. Atlanta's a team trending in the wrong direction.
They really are, man. They sit at 3-3. They're trending in the wrong direction. Mohamed Sanu's not, though. Mohamed Sanu, 65. I know Scott sits here, Mohamed Sanu. This dude, 10 targets yesterday. 6-65. This is great.
It's six teams on a bye this week.
I would love to start Mohamed Sanu.
There you go, right there.
No issue whatsoever. No issue whatsoever. New Orleans, you got to start having Coleman still, which is so. You have no choice.
I mean, you really have no choice. Yeah, you got to put him out there because he can.
Oh, man.
I mean, he's had a couple bad weeks. He's not going to go off every week, but I can still trust in Tevin Coleman.
And Austin Hooper, one catch, 6 yards. In a game that we all loved Austin Hooper in.
That's the nature of the beast when it comes to tight ends and fantasy football.
Caesar Keegan's going to be one and done, man. He's going to be one and done. Maybe he lasts one.
You would figure you have to give him another season because they,
no,
you
want to way.
But the players have to learn the offense. They have to get comfortable in the offense. They can't do it in one season.
You took a historic offense and you changed it to nothing. where are they ranked this year?
I'll get on NFL.com right now and tell you that. You know what I mean?
All right. I want to know where their offense is ranked this year because you took away nothing on offense. It is the same exact offense as last year with Atlanta. For Matt Ryan, Devontae Freeman, Tevin Coleman, Julio Jones, Mohamed Sanu, Taylor Gabriel.
Same pieces.
Austin Hooper. It is the same exact offense.
It's the same pieces. They're just not getting the job done this year. And you have to, and you got to point that, you got to point the finger to Steve Sarkisian.
Correct.
Listen, they're still Atlanta's still top 10 in the league in offense. At least you can say that much.
Are they?
They're still top 10 in the league in yards per game. When you look at total points, Atlanta is 21st in total points.
21st in total points.
That's the bottom half of the league.
We'll come back and wrap up hour number two. We're on the other side. Roto Experts, sponsored by DX Racer.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Update here, which I think you'll find interesting, Corey.
Uh-huh.
Ian Rappaport says that New York Judge Faia, the judge in the Zeke Elliott case, says no to the NFL's request to expedite the Zeke Elliott hearing. They wanted it October 27th, which was obviously later this week.
Yeah.
They said no, it will not be until 7 days from today, next Monday. So Ezekiel Elliott will, in fact, be in the lineup of the Cowboys during Washington week.
Yes, so you got that big matchup right there.
And it's nice to know that now.
No
worries the rest of the week.
No worries the rest of the week. Get him out there. Obviously, it's going to be a big game next Sunday when it comes to trying to figure out the balance in the NFC East, especially if Philadelphia wins tonight. So big-time matchup, big-time showdown in D.C. next week. Ezekiel Elliott will be there. Hopefully, the Dallas Cowboys offensive line shows up the way they did yesterday also.
They did. This is the easiest game the Cowboys will have and has had all year long.
Will continue, unless Atlanta just still stinks.
I thought this one was a predictable one for them. I thought Dallas would have come out and crush, and they did. Ezekiel Elliott has had it. It was too easy, man. 26 carries, 147 yards, and two touchdowns.
And then that touchdown on that screen, that's about as a dynamic of running back that you'll see catch a football and make a play like that.
Correct. One catch. It was the only catch of the day on that screen, 72 yards.
Cribbed
and it touched.
Saw it coming. As soon as he caught the football, the way the blocker was set up, you were like, oh, if he doesn't step out of bounds, this is going to be a touchdown.
And it was just that. Des Bryant also was fantastic. 7 for 63.
Toe drag swag.
Yeah, that was definitely on this one this morning. It was awesome. Dak Prescott continues to just be incredible. Three
Dak
touchdowns.
Prescott, top 5 fantasy quarterback right now. Mm-hmm. Top 5 fantasy quarterback moving forward. If you are a Dak Prescott owner, you got to be happy. Everybody said regression. And it's not regression. It's actually progression. He's improved.
He absolutely has improved from year one to year two. And we always talk about, like, listen, if you're a rookie quarterback and you're the same, like, that's improvement.
An improvement right there.
He has improved.
He's in that Russell Wilson category, looking like the same. They're putting up identical fantasy points. Yeah. So both of these guys are top 5 fantasy quarterbacks. You have to love what Dak Prescott is doing.
You know, what really impresses me about Dak Prescott is what we're seeing Deshaun Watson do,
yep,
and what we're not seeing Matt Ryan do.
Yeah.
And it's just getting the ball to your best player, right? Like this offense, and one of the concerns in regards to Dez Bryant was that Dak Prescott was going to spread the ball around a little bit. They're just going to ride Ezekiel Elliott, and he's just not. And yes, he's the number one option, but it wasn't just going to be pitch and catch Dez Bryant. And that is what it is, especially inside the red zone. It's going to throw to Dez every single time, as you throw to Jason Witten. But
Troy Aikman said something interesting yesterday. He says a lot of things that you can pick at Dez Bryant about and undress his game about at this stage of his career.
Sure.
But one thing you cannot is his dominance in the red zone. He is a factor in the red zone. They get him the football in the red zone. Those 50-50 battles, they go to Dez 90% of the time.
Yeah, and I think that is... This is the thing. They're never afraid to throw the ball to Dez, and you keep Dez happy, even if he's not going to be the focal point of the offense throughout the game. You keep happy.
If he's getting those touchdowns,
he's thrilled.
He's fine.
Dez doesn't have a 100-yard game receiving on this yet. But he scores a touchdown in 4 of the 6 games.
Yeah, so he scores touchdowns.
That's a really good stat, right? Like, you're not getting a 100-yard blow-up from Dez. I don't think you will. I mean, maybe you will, maybe you won't. But, like, you can't count on it. But you can count on him being targeted in the red zone at least twice every game.
I mean,
at
maybe
least.
Steve Sarkisian should start looking at who
Seriously.
He should.
I got to say one thing. I got to give props to Andy Saxon. I wanted to stop Matt Ryan over Dak yesterday. Just goes to the stat, I believe it was Pat Thurman who put it out there. Quarterbacks versus the Patriots were pretty much like Tom Brady.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, you were putting Tom Brady in when you faced the Patriots. And I thought it would be a Zeke Elliott game. It was a Zeke Elliott game.
It was.
It was a Dak Prescott game, too. I mean, like 40 and 38 points. I mean, it was pretty insane. But, yeah, I mean, Matt Ryan has been a disappointment. And why I always, even in the 16-round leagues, I take the two quarterbacks. So I have Matt Ryan on two teams, two big important teams, but I have Carson Wentz as a backup on
nice.
One, Dak Prescott as a backup on the other. And those are the two guys that are Matt Ryan's my backup now.
You know, it's interesting.
You're right.
I remember, maybe the GST, it might have been a different league, and I wanted Dak Prescott, and I didn't get him for whatever reason. And I regret that now very, very much.
Yeah, no, yeah. Especially the way things are looking in the GST. Team BFF.
We're going to win this week.
Nice.
Thanks.
I'm going to lose. Thanks to Travis Benjamin scoring 2 touchdowns.
It's very rude.
Of all people. It's very rude.
On the other side of things for San Francisco, C.J. Beathard is bad.
We knew this, though. Yeah. I mean, everybody got excited. They had the comeback last week, you know. And he did go to Iowa with George Kittle and all that stuff.
I just heard that. Oh, I just read he went to Iowa with George Kittle. Remember when we heard Carlos Hyde and Matt Breida to be the hot hand approach?
No, yeah. When we heard Carlos Hyde and Matt Breida were the same player. That was total BS.
Yeah, that was funny. Pierre Garçon just 5 for 49 yesterday. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll have the Seahawks and the Giants coming up, as well as just how bad the Baltimore Ravens are. And Travis Benjamin, too. Roto Experts, D Hour number 3, DX Racer. We'll be back right after this.